bother me anymore. But then I found out that not only the guy wouldn't bother me, but everybody who was pissing me off in the entire world that was like that guy, they didn't bother me anyway, either. So I became less bothered by the entire world. And I felt better because one guy pissed me off. I figured out why I was pissed off. And I turned, that guy didn't piss me off anymore. You understand what I'm saying? So I realized the best thing you can do for any alcoholic is have them walk away with resentment. So I do my best to do that. You know, I don't mean to disturb people. It just naturally happens that way. It's not my fault. You know, so, like, for instance, do what I'm doing now. You see, usually people read these things, they go there, and I'm like doing whatever the hell I want to do. You know, because I got 40 years, they can't kick me out. And I'm not going to kick me out, you know. You know, what do you think happens when you lose that fear of people and economic insecurity? What do you think happens? You stop worrying about talking at AA meetings. Because instead of, you know, the real problem centers in our mind, not our body. It's not the drinking. We drink because it's the solution to the problem. The real problem is that we're totally fucking crazy. And part of the craziness, they call it selfishness and self-centeredness. We're driven by 100 forms of fear and self-delusion. And one of the things is that people won't like us. And so we're constantly trying to get attention to have people like us, which means we're constantly thinking things like, you know, I think I said something stupid, or I'm not going to say that, or trying to figure out what the script is, trying to, you know, while we're also telling ourselves at the same time that we don't give a shit what other people think about us. So we live a life. There's like two people in here. There's the guy who's like John Wayne, I don't give a fuck about you. And there's another guy in my mind who says, shit, I don't think they like me. And when you live that way, it sets up some sort of friction. But if you drink, then you have the freedom from fear and you do stupid shit. You know what I mean? So the bottom line is, the key is, you. How do you get to the place after you get sober where you feel free to be yourself? And it's with the help of God. I mean, that's the bottom line. People don't want to hear that, but that's another problem they have that has to do with the alcoholism. It's with the help, it's with God's help. So what happens is, since most alcoholics are not ready to actually wholly give themselves to that, because there is no middle of the road solution, they don't really want to do it that way, or they don't understand how to do it that way. You know, because the only reason we get in here in the first place is because we have the shit pounded out of us, which we ultimately learn, if you stick around for 40 years, is that's going to happen over and over and over again. That's going to happen over and over and over again. You're going to realize the first step on the sex, the first step on the romantic stuff. You'll get to the first step on the money part. You'll get to the first step. You will get to the point at 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, where you're doing everything you're supposed to do in AA and you'll still feel like crap. And you'll be saying to yourself, what the fuck is wrong with me? And then all of a sudden, you will be forced to do that one thing. Somebody will suggest you do something. You will either drink again, or you will be miserable, or you'll go, or you'll become ready. And some banana will show up, some Eskimo will show up at your meeting, and you'll ask him, what do you think I'll do? And he'll say something like, you ought to go to Bible study. And you'll be so miserable that you'll end up doing it when that was the one thing you vowed you would never do. And you'll end up doing it, and your whole life will change. Because that's how we change. We end up doing shit. We tell everybody we're doing everything, but the things that kill you, the things that will kill you in here and make your life miserable, is the things you're refusing to do. You understand? It's the things that you refuse to do, the extra credit. Ain't no big deal to doing the stuff that's the easy stuff, or say suggest this. It's the extra credit stuff that people refuse to do out of pride, intellectual pride. That's what Bob Smith calls it, intellectual pride. He says, if you have some sort of intellectual pride that keeps you from doing this, I feel sorry for you. Your heavenly Father will never let you down. So the bottom line is this is where we get beaten into submission over a period of time. But in any event, so that's a whole bunch of steps whipped into one thing, but they're all in there. But in any event, let me read this. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. Only requirement is desire to stop drinking. Used to be an honest desire. They took that out. Too big a deal for alcoholics. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. A is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober, help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And let's see what we got here. Did we do a moment of silent meditation followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Somebody volunteered to do how it works, and somebody volunteered to do the traditions. I get that. That's it. They're alcoholics. They have opinions. Okay, let me go. Let me keep on doing this. This is a closed meeting. We'll be, that doesn't apply to this thing. In accordance with the seventh tradition, we are self-supporting the wrong. No, that's later, right? So I run through it. Okay, Russell Alcoholic, member of the Septic C group. Hi to everybody. Here's the deal, okay? I'm going to use like the Socratic. This looks like a pretty good crowd here. There's a good crowd there. I know a lot of people. Good crowd here. You're all fully clothed. You look sober. You know, we got, how many people we got have over 20 years here? One guy has over 20 years. How about over 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Two guys. Over 5 years? Two more guys. Oh, so a lot of you guys are like, I have under 5 years. That's great. Because here's the deal. I'm gonna do the best I can to get through this. I have a short period of time. I'm going to cover like 6 or 7 steps or something. It ain't going to matter. Nobody's going to drink. It's all going to work out. It's all based upon my opinion. I've been sober a little bit over 40 years, worked with hundreds of people. I think I'm qualified, but it's my opinion. You don't have to believe any of it, okay? So don't worry about it. Don't get mad at me. Do it. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Do whatever you want to do, okay? But I'm not telling you what to do. I want to try to tell an alcoholic what to do, okay? This is all going to be based upon my experience. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read some stuff from the big book and from some associated literature. And I'm going to talk about my life and my experience in my life, because I think that's important to talk about your personal experience. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll see whether we get some answers and see how you guys do. We'll see how smart you are. See whether you get it. You can figure this thing out. So the problem, one of the problems that you have when you're doing a step series, I've been doing these things for like 35 years. One of the problems that you have is A, is like a giant one-room schoolhouse. You know, I used to go, you know how you go to like kindergarten? A is like a giant kindergarten, but the truth of the matter is you know how you go to junior high school and then you go through grades? And then you go to high school and you go through grades. And then some people go to trade school or college, go through grades. And then postgraduate group, you go through grades. And I would start taking, you know, algebra. And then after I took algebra, I could take trigonometry. Then trigonometry, I could take something called analytical geometry. Then after analytical geometry, I could take calculus. And then after calculus, I could take calculus on manifolds. I could take, you know, I take topology. I could take a whole bunch of other things. But you couldn't take the next. You had things called prerequisites. You couldn't go on to the next course until you go ahead and sit down, guys. You couldn't go on to the next course until you took the course before. So whatever class you were in college or high school or wherever you were in class, everybody was in the same class and had the same amount of time. The 10-year-olds were with the 10-year-olds. The 12-year-olds were with the 12-year-olds. The 20-year-olds were with the 20-year-olds. Everybody was at the same level. Not true with AA. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you got guys with 2 days. You're talking to somebody with 2 days. And I'm talking to somebody 20 years or 30 years. I'm talking to somebody. I'm giving a message out having to do with my life. And the third step, that is a message that has to do with my experience at 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, with the third step, which the guy with 2 days hears like 2% of what I'm saying. Maybe identifies with maybe 10%. The guy with 30 years is saying, I know exactly what that guy's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? So if there's 45 people in this meeting now, there's like 45 talks going out. Not to mention the fact that I've had men come up to me and he says, man, when you were at that meeting, you said the turkey was on the roof. My whole life changed. And I never said the turkey was on the roof. You know, I mean, I talked a little poultry, but I never said that. You know, I mean, I take credit for it anyway. You understand what I mean? But I'm, what I'm saying, there are people saying, hearing shit that I'm not even saying. But that's okay. Because the whole person, that the person that runs this whole thing is God anyway. So if God thinks you need to hear this, I'll say chicken on the roof and you'll hear a turkey in the basement. You know, the point is that if you walk out of, and there are people, I've done this all, that'll come out after the same meeting. Some guy will come up to me and say, man, when you said this, that really helped me. And another guy will come up to me and says, when you say that, it really helped me. And it'll be two completely different things. Both of them, they'll get wrong. You know what I mean? And so you never know what people are getting out of means. So the bottom line is, I was told by a guy, the best way to give a good aim is just try to be as honest and sincere as possible. So that's what I'm going to do. So here's the deal. I'm going to talk about the problem, and then we're going to talk about the solution as far in terms of vis-a-vis the third step, okay, that I found in my life. So here's the problem. We know the reason we get in here is because of alcohol, but alcohol is not really a problem. I rarely, if ever, I mean, it happens from time to time. There may be a guy here nodding off who's drunk or something. The truth is we can't do anything for him. He won't hear a word I'm saying, except maybe somehow get him to the detox or tell him to keep coming back and tell him how much we love him. And maybe what will happen, he'll sober up and he'll come back. So the bottom line is this is not about not drinking. Although we're certainly, when we first come in, we think that's what it's about. We may think it's about not drinking for the first 5 years, for the first year. It's so much about don't drink even if your ass falls off. Don't drink and go to meetings. Here's a white chip for not drinking. Here's a green chip, purple chip. You know what I mean? Anybody who has 5 years, how many people have they? It's so much about the not drinking thing that when you come here, you barely notice, except until a few months go by, that you're fucking nuts. You don't even notice because you're so happy about the not drinking thing. Everybody's talking about the not drinking thing. You barely notice that you're crazy. You barely notice that a flat tire drives you into a freaking rage and you want to commit suicide. You know what I mean? You barely notice that you're not tightly wrapped. You start understanding things like, now I know why I frapped and drank. Now I know why I drank. This is crappy. And of course, it says in the book, men and women drink because they like the effect produced by alcohol. They're restless, irritable, and discontentment. So they can again experience a sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once by taking a view. And so we're searching for pleasure and ease and comfort. We need to get laid. We need to have sex. We need to have a partner. We need to have a house. We need to have a car. We need to get all those things, because what we find is when we have that shit, it's almost as good as drinking, but not quite. Getting laid is almost as good as drinking. Getting a nice car, a new car, is almost as good as drinking. Getting money is almost as good as drinking. Getting all this shit that run up is almost as good as drinking. But even when we have all that stuff and it's almost as good as drinking, it has a half-life of like 5 seconds. You get married and 2 years later, you're getting divorced, you know? You have a brand new car and, you know, 5 weeks later, it's an old car. And you get a flat anyway, you know what I mean? You get a boss, you finally get a job, and you hate the job, you hate the boss. I mean, there is nothing in this world. The problem is you're always dissatisfied with your life, and life is shit, but you're not drinking, even though you're not drinking. And if you're here for 2 or 3 or 4 months or 5 months or something like that, you may get to the point where you go to a meeting one day and all of a sudden you realize, maybe you'll read the book. Now, when I first read the book, I read all about the jaywalker, the drinker, the drinking, and everything, all about the drinking. But at some point in time, it may take 3 months, it may take 6 months, it may take a year. You'll be complaining about life, how life sucks, how your wife or your husband sucks, how the boss sucks, how life is crummy. You'll be complaining about that. It won't have anything to do with alcohol. It'll have to do with the fact that you hate freaking life, and life is unfair, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're delusional, you know, and you'll start. And about that time, you might read the book again, or you might have a good sponsor, you might go to a meeting, and you might do all these things, you see? And all of a sudden, you go to a meeting, you hear that they're not talking, and you hear at 1 year, that all of a sudden you go to a meeting feeling crappy and everything, and you all of a sudden you hear, well, that was a weird meeting. They didn't mention anything about alcohol. They were talking about resentment. Or you go to a meeting, all of a sudden you go to a meeting, they're talking about fear. You never heard that before. All of a sudden they're talking about relationships. You never heard that before. And you say, what the hell is this? This is alcohol. Because they're dealing with the real disease, not the symptoms. We're now dealing with alcoholism, a disease that centers in your mind, not your body. And then you might even get to the point where you understand what they're saying in the third step. then not only are you powerless over alcohol, but you need to find some sort of power, whatever that is, that will restore you to what? Sanity. So here's the deal. If you're not, if you don't get restored to sanity, this is a group thing now. If you don't get restored to sanity, what are you? Insane. Very good. This is a very sharp group. It's like an advanced fucking group, really. You are insane, okay? Now, here's the problem. You might think that you do the second step, the third step, and all these steps, and you might be under the opinion that after you do the steps one time or over a period of a week or whatever the hell it is, that all of a sudden you get sane.
Sane.
But stick around for a while. And you're going to come to a point where it's going to be a little, you know how they have that part of the book, do not be discouraged? You know how they have the part of the book, do not be discouraged? You may find that 10 years or 20 years or 25 years or 15 years or 5 months, whatever it is, that no matter how hard you've been, many meetings you've been going to, you may find that you're still crazy. It may actually happen. Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do, Big Shot? Now you saw, now all of a sudden you see this thing in the book and it says this. It says, the real problem is that you're selfish. And you've never thought of yourself as selfish. You're basically a good boy. And my grandmother said you're basically good. You never thought of yourself. You're selfish and you're self-centered. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. I'm a nice guy. You know, a guy on the street will work for change. I give him a buck. I give him $2, whatever it is. Kindly acts. I do nice things. I'm not a fucking serial killer. You know, I'm not Adolf Hitler. That's pretty much my standard. Not Adolf Hitler, not a serial killer. I'm okay. Okay, so, you know, I'm a rationalizer. I tell rational lies to myself, you know? And so what happens is, here's the deal. So you're trying to figure, so it says, this is what it says about it. It says you're selfish and self-centered. That you're driven, if you're an alcoholic, you guys are alcoholics.
Yeah.
Okay, it says you're selfish and self-centered. You're driven. Driven meaning meaning you can't help yourself. Driven means you can. They don't say you'd like this. Says you're driven. What it means is you're automatically, you're triggered to do stupid shit. As John Wayne says, life is tough. If you're stupid, it's even tougher. You know what I mean? You end up doing stupid shit, quitting jobs, hurting people, divorcing people, saying, how the fuck did I get here? Why the hell did I do that? What's going on? You can't figure it out. It's so-and-so's fault. That's such fault. When all of a sudden you realize down the road that you're the asshole. You know what I mean? But it's not clear at the time because you're your best fan. You love you. You know what I mean? You're not going to do anything to hurt you. You're going to, everything you do is designed to help you and everybody else. If only people realized how wonderful you are, everything would be okay. But life is such a bitch and people are so stupid. You know what I mean? And they're so, and so what happens is, this is the deal. What happens is you read this one, it says you're selfish and self-centered. Now, here's the problem. The first step of getting out of jail is knowing you're in jail in the first place. You come in here and you join the not drinking club. That's the club you've joined. When you come in here, you don't join the Rocket of the Fourth Dimension club. You don't join that club where they talk about remarkable things are going to happen to you. The only remarkable thing is you might not drink. You join the not drinking club, which is once you join the not drinking club, then you get to experience fear, anxiety, lust, blame. You know what I mean? You get to experience every freaking problem you've had since you were 3 years old. Sober. You ever say, I need a drink? When I said that, I needed a drink. You know what I mean? Now you get to experience all the childish bullshit, spoiled brat, selfish, stupid, idiotic behaviors and thinking and attitudes that you think is, you know, because you're an alcoholic. So your alcoholic life is the only normal life. It's the only life you've ever known. You can't separate the two from the false. You're just somehow, some way, pissed at everybody. You can't drive to the office without trying to murder 15 people on the way to the office. You're not going to divorce your wife, but man, you're like a fucking killer. You know what I mean? You just kill people. You kill them in your mind. You know what I mean? That son of a bitch. You're just nuts. You're ravaged by fear, and it's not your fault because here's the bottom line. You're an alcoholic. You are right, and you're brilliant, and nobody knows a lot about life more than you, And if anybody tries to talk to you, you want to say very kindly, well, I appreciate your advice, but why don't you go fuck yourself? So that's your pretty much attitude. Even though some people are nicer than others, they won't use the F word, you know, except in their mind or something like that. So you're selfish and you're self-centered, although you don't really think so. You're selfish, you're self-centered, you're driven by 100 forms of fear, but you don't think so because you don't think you're scared of anything. Because you say to people, I don't give a shit about what they think about. I mean, I don't care about anything. And you sit in a room sober, and it comes and somebody says, will you chair the meeting? He says, I'm not ready, which is alcohol, which is code for I'm scared. What if I say something stupid? What if they laugh at me? And you want to say something, but then you second guess yourself. Because if you're an alcoholic, you're a second guesser. You're going back and forth. You're unsure of everything. You're completely unsure of everything. You second guess yourself all the time. Should I do this? Should I do that? If I do this, then he'll do, you know, if I do this, then he'll do that, then he'll say that, then he'll say that. And if I did that, or why did I do that? And he should have done that. And it's like, you're fucking crazy, you know? And let me tell you something, life is tough. Life is tough. And you used to be able to drink over it. Now you can't even drink. So you buy shit, you know? You spend money you don't have, buying shit you don't need to impress people you don't like to make yourself feel better because you're basically worthless. Because you know even though you're a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is, you got money in the bank, you're a movie star, whatever it is, you're talented, you're bright. Well, the bottom line is, you know deep down inside you're nothing. You know you're fucking nothing. You know you're always going to be a nothing. You know, one day they might find out you're full of shit and you're a phony. You understand what I'm saying? You used to put something in your body that turns you into an almost. When you're a nothing, almost is like top of the world. You know, and that's the deal. And so since you're selfish and you're self-centered and you're driven by 100 forms of fear, and you can't even figure out one form of fear. And even if you had 4 forms, you'd be missing 90 cents. Selfish, self-centered, and we're delusional. We're delusional, which means you're delusional. You see the world a certain way and nobody else sees it that way. It like runs around the selfish, self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking. We step on the toes of others. We hurt them seemingly without provocation. And they hurt us seemingly without provocation. They retaliate without provocation. And we finally realize, by the way, finally realize is maybe 5 or 10 years down the road. Because before we finally realize it, we say things to our sponsors like, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. You got to listen to my side of the story. You know what I mean? You say, you go in, you see, you come in to see me because I'm a lawyer, and you say, that bitch, ex-wife of mine won't let me see my child. And I say, how old's your child? 5 years old. I said, are you paying child support? He says, you don't understand. He says, that fucking has nothing to do with it. That bitch hates my life, guts. Well, doesn't that kid have to drink milk every day, no matter how you feel? Doesn't the kid have to get clothes every day? Who's paying for that right now? He says, well, I suppose she is, but believe me, she, even if I pay child support, I says, well, why don't we try an experiment? Why don't you write her a letter and close a check for $50 and say, I apologize, I haven't been paying child support, and I don't have a job now, but I'm looking for that, but every week I'm going to give you a check for $50. And don't say anything else. Don't say, let me see the kid. Let's see what happens. It'll be an experiment. Just for the hell of it. You'll prove that she's a bitch. And 2 weeks later, he comes to me and says, you wouldn't believe it. She called me up and said, well, I want to see the kid. Because we're delusional. We don't understand that we're the assholes. You understand what I'm saying? We don't understand. Driven by 100 forms. We step at those, they retaliate, seem without provocation. Alcohol can self-override, but he doesn't think so. He thinks he's perfectly okay. So the guy over there, so I'm putting myself out to all you guys, which requires me to suppress anything that has about, I'm worried about what you think about me, because, and the only reason I'm doing this, I mean, I can be at home watching Bowling for Dollars because I love you and I want to try to help you. Pass on one. And there's some banana in the back of the room that's judging me, saying, oh, who this guy thinks he is, thinking that he's humble when he's so full of himself. He's arrogant and full of himself. He's jealous and he's arrogant. What is it not? But that's okay. He's an alcoholic. He belongs here. But he usually doesn't think so. So then it says, so it says this, above everything, we must get rid of this selfishness. So once you get, here's the test. Yeah. It says, above everything, we must get rid of this selfishness that we must or it kills us. So after the drinking goes, what do we have to get rid of? Well, how come only 3 people are there? I mean, this was easy. Above everything, what do we have to get rid of? Above everything. Selfishness. Okay, this is what it says. It says, above everything, we must get rid of selfishness. God makes that possible. God makes that possible. This will kill you. You got to get rid of it. God makes that possible. So what do you have to get rid of? What makes that possible? What's the one thing you never hear about in AA rooms? What's the one thing people are scared to talk about? What's the one word they don't want to use? What's the one word that when somebody uses it, they get pissed off at them? That is because alcoholics are fucking insane. And they see what they want to see. And whenever they're told the truth, if they don't like it, it pisses them off. You know what that is? That's the disease. It's called being closed-minded. It's called being prejudiced. We got to lose all prejudice even against organized religion. It's called being cynical. It's called being, you think you're smarter than everybody else. It's called being, you're not going to listen to anybody and tell them what to do because you got your own opinions, even though your best thinking and your best they got in here. So God makes that possible. And then right after that, the next page says this. When we sincerely take this position, the position of utterly abandoning ourselves to God, utterly abandoning ourselves to God, all sorts of remarkable things happen. All sorts of, you know, it says being all powerful. Being all powerful. He's not like the deputy power or one of 15 powers. Being all powerful, he will give you everything you need to live if you stay close to him and perform his work well. As a matter of fact, in the book, in the thing we read every time we read, we come in here, it says, there is one that has all power. That's what it says. It said, does it say there's 16? It says there's one that has all power. May you find him now. Well, but does it now here's the problem. It says now Bill Wilson didn't like the God thing. He hated the God thing. He said, writes in his story, I hated the God thing. I hated the idea of personal relationship with God. I could go for maybe some sort of universe. I hated that idea. If you talk to me about it, I slashed it. I hated it. Okay? So then his friend says, okay, you hate the idea of the God. You hate the idea of the whole powerful God. Why don't you try this? Why don't you just sort of like make up a God that you like? You know what I mean? Just make up a God you like. God, just whatever you understand, God, whatever it is, the fish, the furniture, the AA group, your sponsor, make up the God that you like. He says, oh, I can do that? Yeah, you can do that. So he does that. And we all do that. And I did that. Because we have no idea who God is, and we don't like him anyway, so we make up a God we like. We don't even know what he is or who he looks like or what he wants us to do. We're just making up a God we like. He's just going along with things just to get us in. But here's the problem. What you ultimately realize is the God that you decide to make up, to create for yourself, down the road, you may find that he's not the one that has all power. So you may find yourself chasing after God that's not going to give you the power to do the things you need to do. So you may have to adjust your idea of who God is and what he is. You understand? Because you don't want to box with God because your arms are too short. And that's the deal. Okay, on the God thing. So the bottom line is, so then you go into this thing in the book where it says you got to utterly abandon yourself to God. You know what it says? It says, but we won't know you. The people who wrote the book, he says, we don't know that. We can't be sure. But your real reliance has to be on him. He'll even show you how to create the fellowship you crave. He'll even show you who to hang out with. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. So the problem is insanity and selfishness. The solution is God. So if we know what the problem is and we know what the solution is, what could possibly be the problem? Here's the problem. We forgot. We're insane. The problem is we're insane and we don't want to do it. We balk. Well, why don't we do half measures? Let's just do half measures. I believe in God and money, or God and sex, and God and this, and God and that, or, you know, God a little here, or I'll say this right here. But here's the problem. It says, half measures avail us what? That doesn't sound good. I don't think nothing's good. Well, I'm going to take like a middle-of-the-road solution. You know, I mean, that guy Russell, he's really fucking nuts. You know, he's like fanatical. You know what I mean?
He's a fanatic, you know, and I heard he was a Christian, too. That's even worse, you know, goes to Bible study and shit like that. He's a fanatic. I'm not going to get fanatical. I'll take, like, a middle-of-the-road solution. You know, I'll be like, you know, like, I'll go along with the God thing, but also, you know, I want to be like you, Hefner, you know, or the God thing, but the money thing, the God money and all that sort of stuff. But then they got that thing, there is no middle-of-the-road solution. And I'm the middle-of-the-road kind of guy. And then they got this shit in there, in the big book it says, God is either everything or he's... So I got this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, that says it's all about God. The founders say it's all about God. And they write this chapter in the book called Chapter to the Agnostics. Do you have any idea why would they write a chapter to people that don't believe? I mean, you ever think about that? Why would they feel they hadn't found it necessary? They said, and they say this, they say, if a mere code of morals, they even take this away. Listen to this. Dr. Young, you remember that the story about Dr. Young and Roland Hazard? Roland Hazard, American business, rich family, goes under the greatest psychiatrist. They fly him over to wherever the hell he goes, in England or whatever, Germany. Dr. Carl Young, the brightest guy in the world. For 6 months, he's working with Young. He says, now knowing the inner workings of my mind, drink is impossible. Nevertheless, in a couple of weeks, he's drunk. He goes up to the doctor, says, what's the problem? What's going on? He says, listen, you got the mind of a chronic alcoholic. You know, I've never been successful where that state of mind exists. By the way, don't get pissed. He's talking about you, if you're an alcoholic. And that state of mind exists. He says, is there no hope? None. He says, well, once in a while here and there, something happens. It's a phenomenon, which is like scientific word for miracle. They can't explain it. That these people change and have some sort of incredible psychic change. It says ideas, emotions, attitudes that are the driving forces of their lives, guiding forces of their lives, and something they're shifted to one side. And they become dominated by a whole new different, it's like a different person. It's like a personality change, a profound personality change. He even says at one point in the book, he says, we're reborn. It's like we're different people. And the guy says, well, what's that about? He says, it's like a God thing. He doesn't say take three pills. Take this, hey, I got this integrity pill. I got this pill that allow you to love your wife even though she called you names. I got this pill that's going to allow you to forgive the guy who just flipped you the finger. They don't have any of those pills around. You know, they it's some sort of God thing. So you got all that crap in the book, you know what I mean? Now you got Chapter the Agnostic, a mere code of morals, a better philosophy of life. But wait a second. My God is good orderly direction. Get it? G-O-D, just another way of not believing in God. Just another way of not doing it, looking for the loopholes, half measures. I'll say, just do good orderly direction. If I could do good orderly fucking direction, I wouldn't be here in the first place. I just somehow, some way, never want to give back the money. I figured I'm entitled to it, you know, and that bitch is not going to get it, you know. So the bottom line is that, and here's the book. The book says, if a mere code of morals, a better philosophy of life would help us, we'd be sober a long time ago. We'd be working long, but it didn't help us because we didn't have the power to do that stuff. Left to our alcoholic devices along the way, somehow, some way, we always screw the pooch. Somehow this God thing works. The God idea works. That's why we wrote a book that we're going to talk about God. Has anybody read Chapter Agnostics? You know what they say right after that? We wrote a book where we're going to talk about God. And you know what it says right after that? Here's where everybody gets pissed off. Here's where everybody gets pissed off in AA meetings. This is where people walk out of the meeting, you know, because he's talking too much about God. When the whole book is about God. And the chapter is not, you know what the theme of the chapter Agnostics is? I agree on this. This is the program. This sort of thinking must be abandoned. If you're an atheist and agnostic, this sort of thinking has to be AA takes a stand. Now, it takes a stand on the God thing. He's everything or he's nothing. Now, you guys don't realize that because that's what AA thinks. That's what the program is. That's how it was originally written. The books they found absolutely essential were 1 Corinthians 13, Sermon on the Mount, and the book of James. You understand what I'm saying? But if you only went to meetings and you became enamored with the fellowship, you would be told that you're spiritual, not religious. Religious people are bad. You guys are superior. You understand what I'm saying? You would be told not to talk about the God thing. You might hurt the newcomer. Notwithstanding the fact that that's all they talked about between 1935 and 1945. 40, and you would be told the big book would tell you that it's all about God, and utterly abandon yourself to God. And some people actually get that shit, and they stay sober for 34 years, and they get rocked in the fourth dimension of existence, because they say if you want to be rocked in the fourth dimension of existence and experience much of heaven, the great fact is this, and nothing less, that God's got to be the central fact in your life. You've got to be utterly convinced that he lives in your heart and mind in a way which is deep, miraculous, and he's doing for you what you can't do for yourself. And your whole life has to be based on God-centered now. And you never apologize for God. You never do it. Because all men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. You'll have him demonstrate in your life what he can do to change you. And that's what people do in AA. But in the fellowship of alcohol status, they don't do that because they're all scared shitless and they hate God. And then you start realizing that this isn't exactly Well People's Anonymous. Although I love the fellowship, you're not surrounded by a lot of well people. You're surrounded by a bunch of insane people that don't want to do this. You understand? And there's a lot of steps in there somewhere. I don't know. So I got down on my knees. I was 3 months sober. As sincere as possible. And I said the third step prayer. So that, you know what that means? That means I've completed step three, right? So how come I wasn't rocking in the fourth dimension of existence? How come I didn't experience much of a heaven? How come everything didn't change? How come I didn't abandon myself to God? Because unfortunately, I am what? Insane. Insane. It's not like I say I'm not going to. Don't you remember when you said I'm not going to drink today and then you were drunk anyway? You ever really sincerely say I'm not going to drink today and then get drunk anyway? That's because you're insane. I mean, I understand. Why don't alcoholics? I understand. Do you understand anything? Am I making any sense to you?
Yes.
So even though you get down on your knees and you say the incantation, come on into my life and everything, you're crazy. You've been crazy for 30, 40 years. You don't get over. You don't get uncrazy overnight. So you got some sort of change has to happen. So how does that work out? So listen to this. Here's, I'm going to give you a little hint now. You know, so I mean, here's a little something for guys with 20 years. And for 10 years, and for 5 years, and for everybody if you listen. So, I'm 31 years old. I'm a drinker. I've ruined my life. It's December 24th. It's New Year. It's Christmas Eve, 1980. I look in the mirror, and I remember doing this. I remember this happening. I don't know whether it ever happened to anybody else, because alcoholics have an incredible ability to justify who they are and what they are. You can be broke, thrown out of your house, have the worst things happen to you, and somehow you're a fucking victim, and there's nothing wrong with you. And you're gonna get your act together, and everything's gonna okay if I only get that blonde. You know what I mean? You know, we don't live a miserable life. So it's December 2024, and I look in the mirror. I've been going downhill for a long time. I've been going downhill like this for a long time, you know, at 45 degrees. And all of a sudden, I think the last, and every day it would get worse and worse and worse. And I think by the time that happened, the Christmas Eve, I had like, it was like a free fall. And I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, I said, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? Your life is over. It's over. 31 years old, my life is ruined, it's over, it's never going to be better again, I'm hopeless. My life is over, and I believe it, no question about it. I turn on the TV, I'm all alone, you know about alcoholic loneliness, as few people know about that, you know, alcoholic. And some preacher comes on and says, let's talk about Jesus, okay, and you want to change your life, and all, you know how preachers are. And this is what he says. He says, if you want to change your life, and you want to start over again, change your life, you get down to Jesus, accept Jesus as your life. Now, I only tell this is my story. It doesn't have to be your story. You don't have to become a Christian. Without, in a nanosecond, I get down on my knees and I say the sinner's prayer, accept Jesus into my life. I'm saved. I'm 31 years old. I'm a trial attorney. I'm a Jewish kid from Great Neck, New York. Okay? I've never gone to church. I've never really read the Bible. I've not gone to one step meeting. Nobody's talking to me about AA. I haven't read the big book. I'm down on my knees praying that Jesus come into my life, and I'm as serious as a heart attack. Okay? So tell me how that happened. And I'm an alcoholic. And by the way, I was a total alcoholic. Tell me how that happened. I know how that happened. So let me tell you how that happened. In order to tell you how that happened, I have to read you something. I'm going to go a little bit over. I'm going to read. This is Appendix 2. You have people talk about Appendix 2? I'm going to try to teach you something about Appendix 2, but I don't think you realize. And I could be wrong, but this is my understanding of Appendix 2. You know how everybody says Appendix 2 is basically sort of tells you don't worry about the God thing? That's not what Appendix 2 says. I'm going to prove it to you. You're reading it wrong. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this condition is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate overwhelming God consciousness, followed by at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Now listen, here's the deal. Listen to this. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety. The educational variety. Because, and this is why they're in the educational variety, they develop over a period of time. Now, when I think about education, I think about learning, going to a book, being taught stuff. That's only partially true. In AA, that's only part. Yeah, you get a lot from the meetings. You get maybe something. Maybe you'll get some from listening to me. Maybe 5 years from now, something will happen. You'll remember this and you'll seep in or something like that. You won't even know where you got it from. Yeah, you'll do things and that'll sort of help out. But what caused me to get down on my knees and give it up? For the first time, what would cause somebody, you know, my sponsor said, don't rob an alcoholic, it's desperation. You know why? Because God had been educating me. The education in AA, when you get educated in AA, all this other shit helps, going to meetings helps. But here's when the education comes, when you get crushed. You're not here because you're smart. You're here because you got crushed. And let me tell you something. Crushing continues. It will continue until you get it right. Until you get closer. Everything that happens to you that God allows to happen to you is designed, like the sixth step says, when we become entirely ready, we get so crushed, okay, that we get rid of all this other stupid shit so we can grow in His image and likeness. And you know how I know that? I know that for two reasons. Because in the big book about hawks, in the 12 and 12 it says, the way we get a new perspective, a new way of looking at things, is through, you ready what it says? Repeated humiliations in the final crushing of our self-sufficiency. We learn the value of suffering. You know what the book of James says? That was the book, they had this great book, the book of James. That's what our whole thing was based on, the book of James. Most people won't read it because they're alcoholics, they just don't do it. You know what I mean? Let me read you what the first part of the book of James says, you know, about this deal. And we talk about it in AA too. It's all about AA. The whole thing's in there, you know. It says, this is James chapter 1. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you'll find you have become men and women of mature character with the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men and women without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he may be quite sure, and you may be quite sure, that the necessary wisdom will be given to you. But here's the good part. You know that middle-of-the-road solution? There are no half measures? You know where that comes from? But he must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea, carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. That sort of man or woman cannot hope to receive anything from God. And the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. Half measures, nothing. Middle of the road solution doesn't work. Utterly abandon yourself to God. You know, that stuff, you know, not apologizing for him, basing your life, that's what works. And that's what you're going to be, and what the point is that for the next 5 years, 10 years, I was 10 years sober, doing everything you could possibly imagine in AA, doing step series and everything like that, sponsoring people. And you know what? It'll keep you sober. It'll keep you sober. But the day will come in your life where you'll be doing a lot of stuff and you will be unhappy. And you won't know where to go and what the problem is. At 10 years, some guy bounced in my life and said, why don't you start going to Bible study? And I didn't want to do it because I thought it was anti-AA or something. Whatever. Who knows what I thought? And I did it. You know why? For the same reason I got on my knees. For the same reason I picked up a light job. Because I was desperate and I needed help. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden I did something that I didn't want to do. And so the great thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is we've got something called life. And we've got something called alcohol. And life is a humbling experience. And you'll either figure this thing out in here, or somehow you'll figure it out a different way out there. So thank you very much. That's all I have to say.